You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGen Nation, what is up? What is happening? We're on to the championship week. Crazy how quickly this season has gone by. We only have one more week after this, which is the Super Bowl. So got a little two-gamer slate here, but I actually really like this slate. I think there's, you know, I think everybody's going to go in one direction, and that's with the later game, the 49ers and the Lions, which is a 51.5 point total, where you have the Chiefs and the Ravens game that is a 45.5 point total. I do not think you're going to see near the ownership on this. And I think for the most part, you're going to be seeing a lot of similar builds because you have, like, for example, Christian McCaffrey, who is 9K, but I think he is going to be almost 100% owned, probably like 70-80%, if not higher, on this slate of games. But obviously, we go position by position here, Maddie, but this shouldn't take us long, obviously, to go through because we only have four quarterbacks to talk about. But what lean are you going? Is it you just going to eat the chalk that probably is going to be Brock Purdy at $6,400?
Yeah, it's hard not to play Purdy. I mean, the Lions have given up 300-plus passing yards in, I think, the last six games. And, you know, there's been a couple 400-yard games mixed in there. It's just been a really bad spot for running backs against the Lions. And they've been such a big pass funnel that teams are just throwing all over them. And so, you know, it's tough to not play McCaffrey, but if there was ever a two-game slate where I wasn't going to play McCaffrey, it would probably be this one. But with that said, so while Purdy's probably your optimal quarterback from a tournament perspective, I do like Lamar. You know, 39 DK points in back-to-back weeks. The rushing upside is always there for him. And the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs tend to play a lot of man coverage. And we know running quarterbacks against man coverage can lead to a lot of rush yards on the ground. So there's definitely, you know, we saw Josh Allen, you know, do it last week against the Chiefs. He had a big game. And I really think Lamar can do it here as well. So if people aren't going to pay up for Lamar, I think Lamar and Purdy will probably be the two highest owned. I doubt we see a ton of ownership on Mahomes or Jared Goff. I'd say Mahomes probably comes in last in ownership on the road in Baltimore. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious where to go to quarterback, and it's just really hard to get off Purdy and Lamar for me. I just don't see a world where – I mean, obviously it's possible, right? But I just think it's unlikely that Mahomes and Goff can outscore those two guys.
Yeah, we kind of saw – I mean, even last week with Mahomes, I mean, the Chiefs' offense actually looked probably the best it's looked all year, or at least in a while anyways, and they still – just didn't really need to do a lot. They were ultra efficient. I mean, Mahomes only threw the ball 23 times, which I think might be the first time all year that he's thrown that few of passes. But they were just really efficient, getting big chunk plays out of it. Threw for 215 yards, two touchdowns. He did run the ball a little bit more, didn't have as much success as he did against Miami, six times for 19 yards. But, you know, he scored 18.5 DK points. Obviously, that's just not going to cut it. Obviously, you know, when you look at these two defenses in this game, they're two of the top defenses in the league, 1 and 2 overall on the season. And would it shock me if this game went kind of nuclear? No, but I wouldn't expect it. They are expecting some rain as well. I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to really impact the game, but there is weather concern there for this game. And I agree. I mean, it's hard not to love Brock Purdy. I mean, Baker Mayfield get there last week, just absolutely crushed. The week before that, you know, this same story, that they just cannot stop anybody in this passing game.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Mullins twice just absolutely nuked on him.
Now, I'll say Brock Purdy hasn't looked great either recently. I mean, he did not look very good at all last week, to be honest. Like, his day should have been a lot worse than what it's been, than what it
but
was.
You've been the Brock Purdy. So, I know you've kind of labeled me the Josh Reynolds whisperer. You've kind of been the Brock Purdy whisperer this year. There's been multiple weeks this year where, you know, you've called out that Purdy is bad under pressure and this team should get, a good amount of pressure on him. And you mentioned that with Green Bay last week, that Green Bay was going to get after him and it was going to cause him to not look, you know, up to par. And that's been the case for his last two matchups. And so I think it comes down to if you think Detroit can get pressure on him or not.
I think that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, if you think that Aiden Hutchinson and company give them trouble, then I think that's problem for Brock Purdy. Because Brock Purdy should have thrown at least two interceptions. Yeah. One should have been an easy pick six. The Packers ended up just dropping those. But I think that's where everybody's going to go. And on a two-game slate, like, you really just need to get a little bit different to really pay off. Like, there was the two-game slate earlier in the season. I think that was whatever it was, the Packers and Giants. And then I think, what was it, the Dolphins and Titans game? And everybody was going, you know, with the Dolphins, super heavy on the Dolphins. And I ended up going a different direction, and that's really all you need. You know, you don't need a lot to be different here. And if, like I said, like, in a tournament perspective, you know, if you're depending on which one you're going to play, now, you know, not necessarily much of a single entry type, but like in a full field tournament, you know, going with Patrick Mahomes, who is likely going to be the lowest owned on the slate. I definitely think that's why, you know, we've seen this Ravens defense at times struggle. I mean, we saw them give up 30 points to the Rams, earlier in the year and stuff like that. So it can happen with that game. And so if you have a lean and think that this Baltimore and KC game could just go nuclear, because I think most of the ownership is going to come in on that game, that Lions and 49ers game has the highest total. And so I definitely think that is where you could go to get a little bit different. Let's just go ahead and, I guess, jump over to the running backs, because I don't think there's a whole lot left to talk about a quarterback, honestly. And so when I look at the quarterbacks or the running backs in this, I think that is going to be the question. Like, do you just fade Christian McCaffrey and try to get different, hope that he doesn't absolutely crush you? Now, we've talked about it. You know, the Lions' run defense has been excellent this year. They've done a really good job at limiting opposing running backs. Now, this is also Christian McCaffrey, who just sees a monster workload. He can also see, you know, like he saw last week, 12 targets to really boost his floor. He is 9K. And so, depending on the direction you're going to go, because you also have some wide receivers I think you're going to want to pay up for, and maybe some tight ends, that maybe that's where you get different if you wanted to, and fade Christian McCaffrey a little bit, and or maybe go underweight to him compared to whatever his ownership's going to be. Play some of these other guys.
Yeah, I definitely think there is merit to not playing McCaffrey on this slate. I mean, there's, when I look at ceiling, all the guys that I want that I think have monster ceilings this week are at the wide receiver position. You know, there's Ayuk against Detroit, Debo against Detroit, which Debo should play. Rice is like the only receiver that's usable in Kansas City. He's going to be heavily targeted, you know, and then like those are really like the only guys on the slate at receiver that are worth playing, you know? And so you kind of almost have to just jam in those stud receivers and, you know, kind of take what you can get at running back. And like, I even think you could play Justice Hill. If you think none of these running backs are going to crush, like, Justice Hill has at least somewhat of a role, 13 carries last week and 2 targets, so 15 opportunities. Like, if he gets you 10 DK points at 4,800, you're chilling. Because Gus Edwards, barring Gus Edwards scoring two touchdowns, which is possible, you know, he should keep pace with him. Montgomery, he could score two touchdowns and have 40 rush yards. It's possible. But, I mean, Gibbs has really eaten into his role. So, I mean, there are, like, some okay running back plays on this slate. And, I mean, I don't think McCaffrey smashes. And we've seen, you know, McCaffrey's pass game role. You know, I mean, yes, the last couple of weeks he's had, you know, 10 and 12 targets in the last two of his last three games. But, I mean, outside of that, for the course of the year, I mean, he's only seen a handful of targets a game. So, I mean, just thinking he's locked into to 10 targets a game, I think is not necessarily accurate, especially if Debo plays. You know, a big reason why he had a lot of targets last week was because Debo left the game early with an injury. But, yeah, I really like Ayuk. I really like Debo and Kittle as well. We'll talk about tight ends. But all the passing guys for the 49ers and, like, loading up Purdy, Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle, you know, together and just not playing McCaffrey is definitely a way you could go. And you could play, like, Gibbs on the other side of that game, assuming the Lions are trailing, and then Justice Hill as well, and you know, play some cheaper running backs that are not 9K McCaffrey. Because I really want to play Amon-Ra at 7.9. I really want to play Debo at 7.3. I really want to play Ayuk at 6.9. You could talk me into Rice at 6.5. Outside of that, like, there's no, you know, cheap receivers that I feel really good about, like we have had the last couple of weeks. Like, you're taking shots on, like, Mecole Hardman, who, you know, has fumbled the ball every time he touched it last week and, you know, couldn't catch the ball that was thrown to him 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's guys like that you're just taking shots on, and sure, maybe they hit, but, you know, it's not anybody that's you're super confident in. So, yeah, I mean, McCaffrey's probably a lock for 20 points because he does it every single week. But at the same time, you know, I just don't know that his ceiling's there.
I like the Justice Hill call. So if you look at the last couple of weeks with Justice Hill, week 20, which was last week, and then week 18, he's played roughly 55% of the snaps. Now, last week, he also handled against the Texans 34% of the rush attempts, but he ran 59% of the routes and saw a 12% target share last week. And he's also seeing 100% of the 2 minute snaps. So that is also a positive for him. Like, you're right. Like, he doesn't need a lot to get there compared to Gus Edwards, who is basically just the in-between the tackles grinder, and he's still only playing 34% of the snaps. Even last week, he only handled 26% of the rush attempts, ran 17% of the routes. Now, you could say that, okay, well, they got up, you know, pretty big in that second half, and, you know, maybe they didn't really need him as much, and they gave Dalvin Cook a little bit of run, 13% of the snaps. But I do think Justice Hill in a game that is going to be much different. I mean, I think what... So, I mean, like, I think when you look at this week, I mean, for the most part, when it comes to, like, just this game in general, the injuries are minimal on both sides. It sounds like Marlon Humphrey should be back. Mark Andrews is going to be back. On the Chiefs side, Derek Nandi, one of their defensive tackles, is going to be out. But they have a couple other guys on the practice squad that they signed that they could end up bringing up, like Isaiah Bugs, who is a run stuffer that they signed, who played for the Lions previously. But he's somebody they can bring up. But then they have Willie Gay. Now, Willie Gay is going to be a pretty big, I think, piece to this game, because Willie Gay, basically, and what they were planning on utilizing him last week was as kind of that spy. And they were going to use him against Josh Allen because, I mean, Willie Gay, I think, has 4.4, 4.5 speed. Somebody that can, you know, go sideline to sideline and kind of try to contain these dudes, like with Josh Allen. And he's questionable right now. He has a neck injury. We'll see if he's able to play. But I think he's going to be a big part of this if he's able to play. But other than that, that's kind of the main one. I know Mike Edwards as well. He had a concussion, but he was able to get a limited practice today. Isaiah Pacheco did not practice today, but I don't care. That's what they've been doing with him. He's going to play 100%. There is no worry about that whatsoever. Pacheco will be able to get out there. But I think the only question mark you have is, like, does anybody even remotely can come close to Christian McCaffrey? And it's hard to really find to look there, right? Like, San Francisco has struggled recently. Even last week, they allowed 124 rushing yards last week on the ground. Aaron Jones was kind of having his way with that defense a little bit. And the Lions have kind of been able to do whatever they want. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, would be the name you'd want to look at, because while he still hasn't been playing a ton of snaps, like, he played 37% of the snaps last week, he's just getting there on efficiency. He's also played 100% of the snaps last week, but he scored 21 PPR points or 21 DK points last week. He's, like I said, he is a part-time player compared to David Montgomery. David Montgomery hasn't really been great. David Montgomery, in my opinion, needs a touchdown to really kill you, because he's not really all that involved in the passing game. You don't really have to worry about that all that much. So he really becomes kind of one-dimensional. I think the pool of players that I want to play for running back is you're going to play some Christian McCaffrey, but if you're doing a single entry, I think maybe that's one way you could look. But you have Isaiah Pacheco, Jahmyr Gibbs, in my mind, and then probably Justice Hill are probably the names that I would be looking at the most at running back.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that.
And then you move over to wide receiver, and of course, this is going to be the spot to really make a decision, because you're not going to be able to get all of these guys, especially if you're playing Christian McCaffrey in a lineup. And so, Amon-Ra St. Brown is obviously cheaper than what he should be at 7,900. And then you have Debo, who's 7,300, and then Brandon Ayuk, 6,900, Rashee Rice. And then you have only one 5K wide receiver at Zay Flowers. And then from there, it gets pretty gross pretty quick, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure there's going to be one of these dudes down here that probably ends up making the optimal lineup. It's kind of the way it works. They don't need a lot on a two-game slate. If a guy gets a 30-yard touchdown, he's probably going to be, especially one of the cheapies, is probably going to be in the optimal lineup, right? I think that is kind of the way that you should look at this a little bit. But as far as the pay-up options, like who's the wide receiver you want to play the most out of all of these guys?
It's Amon-Ra and Ayuk for me. Like I said, I think there's more options at running back, which I think tends to lead you down the path of not playing McCaffrey and just jamming in both Amon-Ra and Ayuk and Debo if we get him. But if not, it's wide receiver is just disgusting this week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do love Brandon Ayuk. I mean, so the Lions have really, really struggled to stop number one wide receivers, and Ayuk remains to be that. He hasn't necessarily gotten there, recently. You have to go back to week 17, the last time that he really had the big game where he had scored 27.4 DK points. But the last two games, he has pretty much burnt folks with 5.5 and 6.2 DK points. But again, that kind of corroborates with Brock Purdy not really looking great recently either. But I think that he is a smash play here in this spot. I hope Debo Samuel does play, because I think that will limit his ownership some. Because I think if Debo's out, then, Brandon Ayuk's ownership is going to skyrocket through the roof.
Are you playing Jennings if Debo sits?
I think you have to. I think you have to like him at 40. I mean, he saw six targets last week when he was out.
Yeah.
5 for 61. I mean, at his price at 46.
And they weren't just, there were some targets in some big spots of the game, too, like important third downs and whatnot. Like he converted several big plays for them.
Yeah. So I guess, who are who are the pay down options that you're looking to kind of target here?
A lot of people were on Odell last week, and I like going back to Odell again this week, just because of I think he's got the most talent of anybody that's down there in that range. I mean, I just can't play any of the Kansas City guys. Like it's a carousel every single week. Like I'm not playing MBS, I'm not playing Watson, I'm not playing Tony, I'm not playing Hardman. Rice is the only guy that you can convince me to play, but I'm playing Ayuk and Amon-Ra before I play Rashee Rice. So from there it's, Detroit guys. I mean, if Reynolds, Reynolds has a Q tag, I'm assuming he plays, he's been their number two receiver. If he were to be out, I mean, I guess Jameson Williams becomes their number two option, but I think honestly that just lends to more Jahmyr Gibbs, receptions as well. More dump offs, more Laporta. More Amon-Ra. So like, I don't think it's a lock that any of these, like Jameson Williams or Reynolds, any of these guys smash. But they're definitely options. And I just, I think Baltimore is going to score some points. I know the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been good this year, but this Ravens offense, they've been really good against, a lot of good teams. So I do think they score points, and, a guy like Odell, is going to be involved, and they're a team. We talked about it last week, right? The Ravens just have so many guys that just touch the field and can score touchdowns, like Aguilar. We saw Aguilar score last week. There's no confidence in those guys, but I definitely have more confidence in those guys than the Chiefs guys producing. So outside of San Fran, I mean, I guess you just load up as many San Fran guys as you can, right? Like, Ayuk and Kittle for sure if Debo's out, and then Juwan as well. You just play those three guys with Purdy, I would assume, would be the sharp route to take if Debo sits. But yeah, it's dude, wide receiver is disgusting this week.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the pay down options, like I'm hesitant. So one of the things we were hoping to see last week that once now the playoffs were here, that we thought maybe that we would see more Odell Beckham and kind of unleash him a little bit. And that didn't really happen. He only played 28%, or he only ran 28% of the routes with a 5% target share last week. Now, again, second half, the game kind of got away a little bit from the Texans, and you know they kind of got up in a big lead, but you still felt like he would have handled way more than that. And really what we saw was Nelson Agholor played 62% of this, ran 62% of the route, saw a 19% target share, and then Rashad Bateman actually also ran 72% of the routes with a 14% target share last week. So I think both of them are viable options as punt plays, especially Rashad Bateman at $3,600 because so the way that I see this is I'm not sure if L'Jarius Sneed tends to lock up the number one wide receiver. And one thing that he doesn't do is travel into the slot. He basically has been staying on the outside. And I would expect that whether it's Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, or not Rashad Bateman, Odell on the outside, I think that is where you see L'Jarius Sneed go because Trip McDuffie is basically playing in the slot. And so they are more than comfortable with allowing him to lock up whoever's in the slot. And so I do think that could allow something for a Rashad Bateman or a Nelson Agholor on the other side, on the outside, because they will basically be seeing Jalen Watson or Joshua Williams on the outside as the other corner who starts on the outside. And so I think one of those guys would be the guy that you could look to target. We already talked about, you know, both those guys. Bateman played, ran 72% instead of the routes, 15% of the targets, while Agholor ran less of the routes but saw a 19% target share last week. So I think one of those two guys, I think, is going to be in the optimal lineup. I think you could see them target one of them. Bateman at times has looked good, especially getting separation. And so I just think that's probably the way that this is going to play out, where I think the Chiefs feel pretty comfortable with that. And so I would expect that's the way that things are going to work, because L'Jarius Sneed has absolutely shut everybody down this year that he has went up against. And so that would be my concern with somebody like Zay Flowers is, you know, does L'Jarius Sneed pretty much just shadow him everywhere? I don't know if he earns that kind of respect from the Chiefs, but I do think he's going to see a lot of L'Jarius Sneed regardless of that. And so I think Rashad Bateman or Agholor are the two guys that I would be taking shots on. Both of them, you know, are out here running a pretty solid amount of the route, 62%, and Rashad Bateman has pretty much been a steady, you know, guy, where Nelson Agholor has been up and down a little bit at times, but he has gotten more involved. You go back since week 16, he's run 63%, 62%, 100%, and 62%. And then you also just look at his target share, 14%, 10%, 20%, and 19% for Nelson Agholor. So he's becoming a little bit bigger part of the offense. So I do think Nelson Agholor is probably the lean here that you probably should look to go, just in terms of just kind of following the touches. And then I think the other option, I guess we didn't really talk about, but on the Detroit side, you know, you have the Jameson Williams, but I can't play Jameson Williams. I feel like I keep trailing him and thinking that maybe he's finally going to have, like, he's going to have that 60-yard bomb that he's going to catch for a touchdown, but it just never happens. He doesn't see enough target volume to really be viable.
His ceiling is like three catches for 60 yards and a touchdown, which gets you 15 points. Like, even at 15, you know, that doesn't kill you if you don't play him.
Yeah, but you know, you keep chasing it because you think something's going to happen, and it just doesn't happen. Where really, it's just they are pretty concentrated for the most part with Amon-Ra St. Brown, just he's a massive workload. I mean, last week Josh Reynolds, everybody was all over Josh Reynolds, and he had a 7% target share, 83% of the routes, but only a 7% target share. Now, weeks prior to that, he was 28% and 23%, but then you go back, like, he's very up and down, like he is harder to predict on the week to week basis of being able to trust him. So everybody else, I don't think you can really play anybody. So I think you kind of scratch everybody off there. Like, if you want to take a shot on a Josh Reynolds, fine. But I think it's super unpredictable. You already talked about the Chiefs. They are very hard to trust. They have so many different options to go to. I have been guilty of it with Mecole Hardman, trying to think that he is going to do something. And to be fucking honest, the dude should at least have two touchdowns right now over the last two games, because he should have fucking scored whenever he was on the goal line, but he fumbled. And then the week prior to that, he just absolutely, you know, just sold on a couple of routes that he easily could have scored a touchdown on. But so I'm not going back to that well. But Kadarius Toney has been getting in limited practices. he's possible to play. You have Justin Watson, who out there, he runs a lot of routes, but he doesn't see a lot of targets. I mean, he hasn't seen more than three targets since week 16 when he saw six. But, I mean, he doesn't see a ton of action. Now, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, playoff MVS has been a thing. He did it last year where he had a couple really big games in the playoffs. I don't know if the guy just waits until the playoffs to finally show up. But last week, I mean, not that it was, like, fantastic, but two catches, 62 yards, 8.2, $3,400. I don't know. Like, I guess he would be the guy that if I was not going to play somebody, he would be the guy maybe you could look at, because Sky Moore is not going to play. But MVS, yeah, at least you know he's going to be out there and he's going to run a ton of routes. That's basically all you know about him, because last week he actually saw a 19% target share, which is wild. But like I said, they also didn't throw the ball very much, only 23 pass attempts last week. But that's pretty much how it's been breaking out. You see that basically Watson and MVS kind of split routes, split targets, and then you have Mecole Hardman, who is basically a nothing at this point, because Mecole Hardman is Mecole Hardman, and is super frustrating. That's why he shouldn't be playing football for the Chiefs anymore. But, you know, whatever, that's a different conversation for a different day. So I think in my mind, if I'm paying down at wide receiver, I think that's pretty much it. Like, I think I probably would look at Aguilar or Bateman if you want to take a shot on Josh Reynolds. If I was going to take a shot on a Chief, it probably would be MVS. Point, as gross as that sounds.
Yeah. Ugh. That's I need a second. I'm gonna go puke.
This is why I think it is a double tight end week.
That's fair.
I think it's I think this is more than any other time. I think this is a tremendous time to run double tight end, because Kelce finally looks like Travis Kelce again.
Andrews.
Well, and I think even back in the late in the regular season, he started to look like old Travis Kelce. Like, he's moving a lot better. I think I talked about that last week. And so I wasn't surprised at all that he went off, and he's 6,600. They kind of boosted him back up a little bit. Still not to where Travis Kelce normally is, but then you have Sam Laporta, who's 5,400, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, who likely is back, and then Isaiah Likely. And then I don't know, maybe Zach Ertz gets activated, but I don't really care about anybody past that. So I guess the question is, one, how much are you anticipating Mark Andrews plays? I do think he's going to play, but do you think he's going to get a full allotment?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Snaps?
It sure seems like it. I mean, he's been practicing in full all week, and it's I mean, the thing with him, right, is he doesn't need a full allotment of snaps to score two touchdowns. And, you know, that's where a lot of Andrews' value comes from anyways, is the touchdowns. Like, he could easily go, you know, 4 for 40 and two, which gets you to 20 DK points, and at that point at 5K you'd have to have that. So I think he's in play regardless. He's practicing in full. And I think he's going to be involved for sure. But I totally agree. I think it's, I think this is a really sharp week to have two tight end builds. If Debo's out, you just play Kittle and you play Ayuk. So it's like, I always play Kittle every time one of Ayuk or Debo's out. And so if Debo sits, I'm just playing Kittle and I'll figure out the other tight end from there. But yeah, I agree. You can play Kelce and you can play Andrews for sure. And even Laporta, like they're going to be trailing. And if you know, Reynolds is banged up, you know, Laporta has been heavily involved and is showing, you know, that his knee injury isn't really slowing him up much, if at all. So yeah, I agree. I really like the two tight end builds.
And then Gerald, is Kadarius Toney coming back? It sounds like it. He actually was on track to come back last week. He was getting in full practices and then he re-aggravated the same injury he had. And so that's where they eased him back off. And then obviously he didn't play. Yeah, he's back getting limited practice again this week, but I think he may play as long as he can get through these practices without any sort of limitation or re-aggravating anything. I think there's a shot he plays this weekend, but yeah, it's kind of gross. But there with all these wide receivers, I think when it comes to like I said, I mean Travis Kelce was phenomenal last week, 5 for 75, 2 scores last week, and again. I know that, you know, at least the yardage and the, you know, receptions totals don't look fantastic, but we're talking about it when they only threw the ball 23 times last week. We saw Sam Laporta 9 catches, 65 yards on 11 targets last week. It really just feels like they're really starting to consolidate these targets here within this offense. And I think it makes it a lot more easier to be able to stack this Lions team, because we already know that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be the guy who sees the most targets, 14 targets last week. And then I think you just follow that up with Sam Laporta. But the only thing that you worry with Sam Laporta is, like, Fred Warner is a tremendous, at covering tight ends. And so the 49ers, generally speaking, do a pretty good job against opposing tight ends. So that is something to keep in mind there. But Sam Laporta has just been phenomenal this year, getting a pepper with targets. I think Mark Andrews and Isaiah likely split touches. I don't think Mark Andrews is going to come out here and play a full allotment of snaps. He's been off for almost 2 months. I know he got in a practice last week, but he got in full practices. But I would be surprised if he plays the full allotment of snaps. I think it could be more of a 50-50 split. But like you mentioned, he doesn't necessarily need, you know, a full allotment of snaps to really pay off his value, because he's not expensive. He's only 5K. Obviously, that is significantly cheaper than what you would normally ever be paying for him. I guess I should say that he did have some weeks earlier in the year where he was $5,500. So he is still cheaper, but yeah, I mean, if he can see 6 or 7 targets, even on limited snaps, I mean, he could pay off there at 5K, and you already mentioned George Kittle. So, but I really like Travis Kelce. I think Travis Kelce could smash, because I think the interesting thing that I'm kind of interested to see this week with the Ravens is, do the Ravens bring these blitzes like we typically see? Because we know Patrick Mahomes absolutely thrashes teams that try to bring the house. That is why teams typically don't. They typically just play back. They rush their 3 or 4, and they're not bringing all these exotic blitzes, because Patrick Mahomes will absolutely pick you apart if you try to do that. That is one area that I'm kind of curious if the Ravens tried to do that to him this week, because these teams, I felt like they played each other last year, but I went and looked. I was like, oh, no, I'm wrong. They haven't played each other since 2021. And the Chiefs have typically had their number. Now, again, it's been – you know, since 2021. So it's been, these teams are obviously way different than what they were. But so that is something that I am interested to see what the Rams or what the Ravens do here with that. But other than that, I guess defenses, I don't know. To me, build your lineup and then whatever money you have available, play that defense, right?
Yep.
Because yeah. I don't think there's a single defense that, like, I would have a lean on that, like, okay, this is a great defense to play. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. Like the 49ers at $3,300, if you want to play them, fine. But this Lions team can definitely put up points on them. You know, we've talked about it. Like, I talked about it last week. Like, basically, what has killed the 49ers is if they can get pass protection, which if the Lions offensive line can hold up and stop the pressure from the 49ers, Jared Goff can have an opportunity to pick this team apart, because that is where they have struggled. If you can keep your quarterback upright, not allow too much pressure, this 49ers secondary can definitely be had. And so I'm not all in on the 49ers. To me, it's just build your lineup and whatever money you have available, play them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm totally on board. I don't have a defensive lean either.
All right. Let's go ahead and let's build a lineup here. I think maybe we might do the same we kind of did last week with a McCaffrey, without a McCaffrey. Just kind of see. I just want to see what these what a team would look like with or without them, right? So
yeah, it sounds good.
Let's go ahead. Let's do one with McCaffrey. I'll just go ahead and plug him in and then go from there. So what do you want to go with after that?
Let's go probably need for playing McCaffrey. Let's go Justice Hill on that team.
Let's go Lamar Jackson.
Okay. And then let's go Bateman.
All right. And I'm going to go with Travis Kelce.
And I'll go Kittle. Actually, let's go Ayuk instead of Kittle for now. So we got to fill up those wide receiver spots.
So I don't think... So that leaves 3,800 remaining for three, which obviously with defense, let's just plug in the Lions for now, which leaves $4,400 for a wide receiver and a flex.
So I'll go back to Kittle probably, and it leaves 3,500. So there's your Chiefs guys. You would have to play Juwan if Debo sat, which would then leave you with 4,200.
I think what you could do is you could go like MVS. Like if you're going to tell yourself a story, I mean, MVS is still their deep threat, still their deep guy that they try to hit. He breaks loose on one and be able to get behind the coverage.
That's fine. You know, I'm good with that.
A touchdown. He does see some opportunities inside the red zone. So maybe you just go there, leaves $100 on the table. It does feel a little gross anytime playing MVS, but whatever. Playoff MVS has been a thing. Lamar Jackson. So this team would be Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Justice Hill, and then Rashad Bateman, followed by Ayuk, MVS, Kelce, Kittle, and Lions defense. So that's that team. Now let's build a team, I think, where we're going to be able to have a little more fun without a Christian McCaffrey. Now, in my opinion, if you're not I don't really want to stack Christian McCaffrey with Brock Purdy. So I think this is a good spot to then, since you're already going to be extremely different without McCaffrey, just playing leading into the chalk that is Purdy. Do you feel the same way? Or
yeah, no, I agree. And I think you just full-blown stack Purdy all the way, like triple stack him. So I would go Ayuk, Jennings, and Kittle with Purdy, assuming Debo's out. Because they're calling him a 50-50 shot to play. So,
all right. So we got Purdy, Ayuk, Jennings, and Kittle. I'm going to run it back with Amon-Ra at running back. Do you just want to plug in Justice Hill again?
Yeah, let's try that. Let's play Gibbs as well. Unless you're telling yourself a story that the Lions control the game a little bit on the ground early, and then it kind of feeds into Montgomery, gives you a little more salary to play with. But you can still fit something pretty solid. Like, it's kind of counterintuitive and nobody would play this, but you can fit the Lions D with Gibbs and Mark Andrews in the flex. But your Lions D is against Purdy triple stack. But maybe Purdy throws a pick six early. And then all of a sudden they're down 10-0, you know?
Also, instead of playing Amon-Ra, you could go Laporta, which would free up a little more money. And then you could go Rashee Rice, which would be $6,500. And then that would leave $100 or $1,100 on the table. I don't know really what you would do with it.
I'd probably change Hill to Gus Edwards and play.
Or, I mean, really, if you wanted to, I guess since we already have Gibbs, he could just kind of be the run back there. And instead of playing any of the, you know, those two lines, I mean, it would free you with $6,500. You could go with Pacheco. You could go with Zay Flowers. I think both would be in play if you wanted to do that. you don't have enough to get to Kelce unless you pivoted off of Rice and just played Kelce as a double tight end there, and you could do kind of the same thing. Which team do you feel better about?
The non-McCaffrey, 100%.
That's how I feel.
It's like, not. I don't even think it's close either, personally.
Because I think that's really, like, as long as McCaffrey, I mean, McCaffrey can still have a good game, but if McCaffrey scores 20 at 9K, considering all the wide receivers that we want to play, because I think that's really the top of the line wide receivers, I think it really limits your ceiling.
It does.
And it's gonna force you into a certain type of build.
And now our McCaffrey build was also a Lamar build too, so it was double pay up. so you couldn't really afford anything else. But yeah. I mean, even if you play McCaffrey with Purdy, it's still going to be restrictive. It's going to put, like you said, it's going to put you in a certain build that everybody's going to have. And if everybody's playing McCaffrey, everybody's going to have that same build. I like just not playing him personally.
I think it makes it allows you to do a lot more and get a lot more different. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of really where this slate really hinges on, in my opinion, is going to be what Christian McCaffrey does, because
yeah, it's the Niners. They're clearly the best offense in the best spot on this game and on this slate.
Yeah, and because I don't think there's any. I haven't looked at the weather there. I know the Baltimore game.
Yeah, San Francisco should be fine. I know they had some rain last week, but they should be fine this week.
Actually, both of them are fine. I mean, the rain is likely for Kansas, the Baltimore game, but it's only 10 to 15 mile an hour wind. So,
yeah, and both those teams are used to playing in shit weather also. So,
and then the other game is 72 degrees and sunny with
no wind. So it's pretty much a dome game.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, that is the other part of it. I mean, you do have the splits there with Jared Goff playing outdoors versus playing indoors. I mean, outdoors
and on the road.
So I don't know. Maybe it leads a little more credence to not playing and maybe playing more Jahmyr Gibbs. Maybe the short passing game, get the ball out of his hands.
Especially if Reynolds is banged up, you know, and they're not trying to work the ball deep to Jameson Williams. Khalif Raymond's on IR. You know, it's I really agree. I think it could be a Jahmyr Gibbs 10 target game.
So, and like I said, it worries me with Laporta just because for the most part, the 49ers have been pretty solid against tight ends this year. So,
yeah. I mean, everything funnels to Amon-Ra and Gibbs for me on the Detroit side. And I think San Fran's pretty straightforward also. I'm just probably going to – the thing is even if Kansas City and Baltimore put up points, like I'm not confident where those points come from.
Oh, it could be all over the place. Yeah,
it could be all over the place. No,
I think you can easily, if you want, just play Lamar naked.
Yeah. 100%.
The Chiefs do struggle against, I mean, Josh Allen at 72 rushing yards.
72 and the week, rushing you scores. Know, Browning had 30 in a rushing touchdown. Easton Stick had, you know, a bunch of rushing yards and I think a rushing touchdown or two. Like, it's just their style of defense. They play a lot of man coverage. And it just, you know, the defenders get their backs turned to the quarterback. And unless you have a spy specifically on him, which even for Lamar, I mean, you know, it doesn't always stop him. So, yeah, they do a lot of production on the ground. And like you said, like the Ravens don't really have a number one receiver for Snead to kind of take away. Like they'll just attack you by anybody. So, like, I don't even know that Snead is really a huge impact in this game.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference. Like you said, I don't think it's something where, you know, you typically talk about in other games where it would matter. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyways, so, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much the slate. Like I said, I think make a decision on what you want to do with Christian McCaffrey. I think it really depends on the type of slate how you're playing it. If you're just doing, like, a single-entry lineup, then I think I would probably just roll the dice on a week like this and just fade Christian McCaffrey, not play him. And I think it opens up the rest of your lineups. But if you're playing, like, a 20 max or something like that, because some of these things that they have, like, on the two-game, they have the – what is it? The play action. That's just fucking ridiculous. Like there's a 277,000 entries. Like, no, thank you. The pro move is to wait. Cause like Saturday night or even Sunday morning, this thing will get, I mean, it already has 80,000 entries in it and it's only, you know, Thursday night when we're recording this. That thing will get pretty close to filling probably Saturday and they'll open up another one. Now it won't be nearly, you know, you're not going to have this huge top prize, but it'll be like a 30,000 that I would much rather, you know, 20 entry max that versus doing one of 277,000 entries. Cause even if you get first, it's going to get chopped up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I think your best bet, if you are wanting to do something like that, is to wait it out and they will open up another $3 20 entry max, depending on your volume of play, depending on how you play. So, I know, you know, you typically go a different direction than that and more single entry. I will hit up all the single entries as well, but I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of the lean on the slate though.
Yeah. What's your Super Bowl picks? Is it Kansas City, San Fran, Homer?
I don't actually like picking the Chiefs because I always feel like I'm jinxing them. So we talked about it in the, like after the Bills game the other night, and I don't know. It's this really weird. I was talking to people at work today. Like, they were kind of had the same feeling that I am less worried about the Ravens than I was the Bills. And that's
really
weird.
You're crazy. The Ravens have dismantled so many good teams.
No, you're 100% right. Like, crazy. From a team perspective, yes, the Ravens have been far better than the Bills this year. Like, there's no denying that. And I think maybe some of it's the not bias, but some of it's having Patrick Mahomes. Like, I can't tell you when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm never worried going into a game. I'm not stressed. I'm not anything. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we got a game this weekend. Like, because it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, and like, he gets it done, you know, more often than not. But I think more than anything, it's more really probably the bias coming in with the Ravens that they tend to struggle, right? And I know they got past it last week. They beat the Texans, you know, pretty handily in the second half. But I don't know. Like, I'm like, okay, I was a rookie quarterback, missing most of their weapons. You know, on the road, like, I'm not worried at all about Patrick Mahomes going into Baltimore. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Nothing is going to faze you there. Can the Chiefs lose? Absolutely. I mean, the Ravens are, you know, on paper, they're a better team, right? Their defense is probably just a little bit better in terms of, but just Lamar, you know, the situation, everything else. But I don't know. Like, I'm just not that worried about the Ravens. And then that's probably wild. That's probably dumb at the end of the day. But it wouldn't, like I said, I would not be shocked at all if the Ravens won. And the Ravens probably should win. They're 3.5-point favorites. They're home. You know, the Chiefs are, you know, limited in terms of their weapons. But I would also argue so are the Ravens. I mean, who are the Ravens' weapons that scare you?
Lamar.
Yeah. So I think that game's going to come down to probably who's able to protect the ball. You know, as long as, you know, there's not any really egregious turnovers or anything like that, because the Chiefs have, you know, historically against Lamar played him really well. I think they're 3-1 against them. They've destroyed him a couple times. Now, again, that was years ago. Like I said, they haven't played since 2021, but all this, I'm going to go Chiefs and 49ers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Ravens have, while they have dismantled a lot of really good teams, you know, they have played, you know, a couple tight games. I think the game against San Fran should have been a little closer than it was. I think there were some turnovers there that San Fran had that were kind of unforced. And, you know, San Fran actually picked it up there in the second half a little bit. But then you have, like, the Rams game. The Rams went to overtime with Baltimore in Baltimore. Baltimore did not, you know, they had a couple divisional losses, which the AFC North was not very good this year outside of Baltimore. I mean, Pittsburgh made the playoffs, but, I mean, they were a middle-of-the-road team. The Browns are a middle of the road team, even with Flacco. You know, it's, I don't know. The Ravens are so hard to kind of, you know, project, right? Because they look like, some weeks they look like the best team to, like, ever play football. And then other weeks you're like, what the heck is this, you know, team that's out there? So, whereas I think the Chiefs are just a more consistent product. So yeah, I think it depends what Ravens team we get on Sunday and what game plan they have for Kansas City. So I do agree. I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City won, but I do give the edge to Baltimore. And then obviously I'm picking San Fran on the other side.
I do think the
Chiefs... No, I would like to see Detroit go, but I just don't.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be phenomenal.
It would be so sick.
I do think though, the Chiefs are getting to a point where I feel like they don't really turn it on until they get to the playoffs, right? Because, like, the last 2 weeks, their offenses look phenomenal. Like, all the questions you had about their offense not being able to move the ball, their offense was looking terrible. Like, the last 2 weeks, I mean, they have had no problems moving the ball up and down the field on, you know, on the Bills and the Dolphins. The Dolphins defense was really banged up. The Bills wasn't as much. They were missing some pieces. But it just feels like that this team has gotten to the point where they just kind of, you know, just hang around, and then all of a sudden when the playoffs get here, all right, now we're turning it on. But I don't know. So we'll see what happens. You know, the Chiefs, 6 straight AFC championship games. We should really just probably enjoy what they've done. Like,
yeah,
we spend so much time trying to, like, hate on teams and stuff like that, that we don't really appreciate this stuff.
Like the Patriots when we had Brady and Belichick and all them. Yeah. Like,
which is wild as fuck to me that nobody has even signed Bill Belichick.
He's probably got certain asks. Like, he wants to be involved to a certain level of player development or, like, you know, player personnel. and it's probably more than teams want to give control over to, but I have no clue.
I don't know, unless something crazy happens. Like,
I think he's like minus 1600 to not coach this year, are the latest odds.
And I think that's starting to look more and more like a possibility, because I mean, there's not many options left. I mean,
because Washington, I think they've already said that they're going to hire the Lions OC, Ben Johnson. I don't think they can make it official until after the Super Bowl or after the Lions are eliminated.
Yeah, they have to be eliminated for that to do it. But that's so wild to me that's the job, because like he turned down some jobs last year and decided to go back.
But Washington probably is the most attractive job to take. They have
I guess they do have an early pick. Yeah, so
early pick, they get a top quarterback. They have a ton of draft capital. All those young receivers and playmakers, the new ownership.
That's fair. I think that probably makes more sense.
The GM that just came over from San Fran. Like it's if I was picking a spot, that's where I would want to be.
And then other than that, you have what, Seattle is the only spot left.
Which I think is Dan Quinn. It sounds like Dan Quinn may end up taking that job.
Yeah,
because he's been talking with Chip Kelly, I think.
And
or vice versa. Like it might be Chip Kelly with Dan Quinn. I don't know. But it's those two. They're like a package deal, supposedly.
Chip Kelly experience was horrible.
Yeah.
Then you got the Mike Florio, which dude is such an idiot, but his reports that, you know, they keep trying to throw out there that Andy Reid might retire this year. I'm like, dude, you've been saying this for 3 years, dude. He's 65 years old. Like, I don't think he's going to retire this year. Like, you still have Patrick Mahomes in his prime. Like, you think he's, you know, supposed to hang him up now? Like, no.
Nah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, he's going to keep going for a while. So, I don't know. I'm not. And even if they did, because they were like, well, you know, Bill Belichick, I'm like, no shot. No shot the Chiefs would bring in Bill Belichick, you know, to follow up Andy Reid. Like, I think if anything were to happen, it would be Eric Bieniemy is who they would bring in to be the head coach. I think there's a much better chance that would happen than it would be Bill Belichick. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go ahead and get out of here. So, almost went an hour again on a two-game slate. So, there's that. But hope everybody has a good weekend. Like you said, you know, it's been a lot of fun this year. Obviously, we'll be back again for the Super Bowl, as we always do for the showdown slate on the Super Bowl. See what happens here. Whatever it's going to be, I can tell you, it's going to be a phenomenal Super Bowl. I think whether it's the, you know, whatever combination we get here of these four teams, you know, it's not going to be, this game's going to be gross or anything like that. There should be a lot of points scored. So the showdown slate should be phenomenal there. So looking forward to that, that weekend as well, with the massive games that they'll put out there for the showdown slate on that. But
yep.
Other than that, keep it locked in here. We've had a lot of fun this year. Like I said, you know, I think we're going to try to do some best ball stuff over the offseason, really get more into best ball this year. We kind of did it a few years ago, but we kind of slacked off last year. But it's become more and more popular. So I'm really looking forward to all the best ball stuff start opening up. Should open up here pretty quickly. And you get in some, you know, pre-NFL draft, post-NFL draft best ball stuff. So we'll be doing that. So, but anyways, that being said, hope everybody has a good weekend. Let's win some money this weekend. And we'll see you again for the Super Bowl. Hopefully the Chiefs keep it going. Keep the good times rolling. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got, adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a breaks, boy. Yeah, that's a breaks, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.
walk into.
Just not wanting me to be someone else. Me like a book on a shelf.